everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Do you want to improve your game faster and hit your driver longer? The good news is ShotScope can help you achieve your goals. ShotScope has products for every golfer, such as GPS watches, laser rangefinders, and shot tracking devices designed to lower scores and improve your golf by over 4 shots on average. I use the Pro LX Plus rangefinder on the course to get my distances. What I love most about ShotScope is tracking my game and reviewing my stats. The great news is your personalized stats are completely free with no yearly subscription. If I can use it, anyone can. Jump over to ShotScope.com today and find the perfect product for you. And remember to use my code PAGE at checkout.
This is Playing Around with Paige Renee.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Playing Around podcast. We are here. Whoa, that was such a bad opening.
We are here. Yeah.
We are here and we are ready for this podcast today. Paige and Sam back at it again.
We're here, everybody.
We are here.
That's the best she could come up with today.
We have come and we have arrived. What a day. What a morning.
What a morning. It's like morning. It's not even 10 a.m. and you've already had a bad morning. Take us through
it. It's a bad morning. It's still a lot of, you know, get up, get ready, shoot content, you know, talk about golf, but it's an exciting week because it is the Open, and we have to say this, you say it's the Open, you don't say it's the British Open, where everyone freaks out. So this is my least favorite major.
I was going to let you say it first because I didn't want the headlines to be Paige's co-host hates the Open Championship, but now it's going to be on you. So that, love that for me.
I don't hate it. And I think that...
Oh, God.
I don't know why. I'm trying to think about why I don't love it as much as the other ones. And I should love it the most because it is... People always say that the Masters has the most tradition, but the Open has the most tradition. It's the home of golf, where all this began. This should be what I look forward to the most. I think it's almost... golf fatigue. I think that's what it is. I don't think it has anything to do with the actual major. I think that we just have such a front heavy section of the year with golf, and you have all of the majors, and the Masters is in such a great spot because it's the first major of the year. We are so excited. It's still, you know, fairly early in April. We're all looking forward to it. And then having the Open be the fourth major, you're just exhausted. You're tired from seeing so much golf. And we talked about this before where it's just, there's so much going on. And I think as well with Liv and all of the craziness that's been going on, it's just been overwhelming. And I think it's like, okay, I'm almost happy that this is going to be done. It's like, okay, we're almost through it because it just feels like a long 6-7 months.
Yeah, I definitely think that's part of it. I think there's two other factors for me that play into why I don't like it as much. One is because the tea times are starting at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
For us on the East Coast, like I don't, that, although like maybe that's how they feel, like people overseas feel with all the majors, all the other three majors being over here. And then secondly, I think when courses change for majors, I personally don't like it. That's why I think I like the Masters so much. I've been there. I can picture the course in my head when someone says, you know, number 12 or number 6. I can picture that. And then we're going back to, I mean, maybe you like golf freaks could picture number 6 at Royal Liverpool, but like not me. And so I don't know, when the courses change, I find it a little bit less interesting to me. And that's maybe a hot take, but that's why I would say I'm not the biggest fan. But the British Open Championship debate is my favorite Twitter day. It's always the Monday after or the Monday before the tournament when everyone's like, just a reminder, everybody, it's the Open. Like, okay, find something else to be pissed about, please.
Yeah, there is always something for someone to be really upset about. I feel that this year was a little bit better than previous years. I feel like people were like, I'll just say whatever I want. It's not that big of a deal. And it wasn't as big of a controversy as previous years compared to like the debate on should the players be a fifth major, or we always talk about this, the menu at the Masters. There's always a couple things with each specific tournament that's always a discussion.
And they're like insufferable. They talk about them for like, you can't get away from it. That's the problem, I think. Yeah, I agree. I think the internal OB on 18 has been the insufferable topic.
That has been it. You know what I also think it is? I haven't played a lot of golf over there, so I don't think I appreciate it as much as I should. I played the Scottish Open years ago at Dundonald Links, but that is my only real experience. And I would love to go play all these really iconic courses that I've only seen through social media and pictures and other people's videos. And I've heard people talk about it. And I just don't have the full appreciation because I haven't played any of those courses. I haven't experienced the culture. I haven't experienced how amazing the people are there. I was talking to someone yesterday who did this whole Scottish trip, and he said, this is how golf should be played. The people were so relaxed. They love golf. There were dogs on the golf course. It just was a very different atmosphere than here in the States. And I can't appreciate that for everything that it is because I haven't been there yet. And so I think we need to make a trip. We need to.
Damn. So sad about that. So sad about adding that to my to-do list. I think too, for me, I grew up, and I mean, you too, grew up with like trees and water and like, you know, these, not that Lynx golf isn't beautiful, but it's completely different. Like you look at a Lynx golf course on Google Maps and you're like, is that an open golf course? Like, is it open for business? Cause it looks brown and dead. And like, you know, it's very different. And so when you grow up in Florida with tree lines and a bunch of water on every hole, like my course growing up has water in play on 16 of 18 holes. Like you could hit it in the water almost on every hole. And so that's just very different. I've only been over there. I went to Ireland and played a bunch of courses the summer before I went to college with my parents. It was a business trip and I just, you know, got invited. That was the last one I was invited on though. And it was amazing. I got sick and my whole family got sick because of the weather. You know, it's cold, it's windy. Yeah. When you have bad allergies or bad sinuses, like you're very, very susceptible to getting a little cold over there. But Old Head is still one of my favorite courses I've ever played. I will say it was knocked down a spot after we went to Australia by New South Wales. But some amazing golf over there. We definitely need to take a visit.
I prefer links-style golf courses because you really have to think your way through it. And there are so many different shots that you can hit. And they're set up that way because of the weather. So there's all these different variables that come into play on a links-style golf course. And it really does test every aspect of your game. I think some complaints about the golf courses now is you just try to hit as far as you can and then just kind of wedge it out and get on. And they are very beautiful golf courses. But on a links-style golf course, when you're 30 yards out, you could putt it. You can hit a little 7 iron, a 9 iron. You can hit a low spinner. You can hit it high. You can putt. Like, there's so many different things that you can do in a links style golf course. And I think it really showcases who are the best players in the world and who has all the shots in their bag.
Yeah, I mean, I think the course argument that I said a minute ago about how, you know, I like that when they play the same courses, I think the same amount of people could say this, the other thing, right? Like, I like it when it's a new course. It shows, you know, how they're learning the course and how they can play the course differently. I think the links style course was cool for me when I was 18 because, you know, I could hit a 3-wood from 250 and it might run up to the front of the green. It's very different when you're playing in Florida when every ball you hit plugs and you're like, if I hit this club 200, it's going 200 exactly. Like, there's nothing else I can do about it. So yeah, it's an interesting style of golf, not one that I appreciate aesthetically as much.
Yeah.
But let's remember, everybody listening to the podcast, it's okay to disagree. Can we say it back? It's okay to disagree. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for participating in that. I think we need to talk about the internal OB, though. I know everybody's talking about it, but I think we need to talk about it. So you guys remember back in 2019 when Rory opened his Open Championship with a tee shot that went into the internal OB at Royal Portrush. Shot a 79, missed the cut. That was when the internal OB crisis hit. 4 years later, obviously, 2023, it's returned. And it's on number 3 and number 18 this week at Royal Liverpool. So keep an eye out for that. They rerouted a lot of the course for this, like how the members play it versus how the pros play it. So number 3 and number 18 run up against what's usually the practice range for the members. And this internal out of bounds, we posted a picture on the podcast account. So if you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's like 2 steps off the fairway, which is crazy. I mean, I think it's kind of awesome because like Brooks Koepka said, let me get the exact quote. It's fine. Just don't hit it over there and you won't have a problem.
And that is why Brooks Koepka wins majors, because he has that attitude. Because, you know, if I was playing that golf course and I saw OB a step off of the fairway, I would be having a meltdown, a massive meltdown. I'd be eyeing that OB all day long. I would have dreams about that OB, nightmares about that OB. I probably wouldn't make the cut. So 2 rounds, I'd have to deal with that OB. Why is it so close? I love it. I agree with it. But it's like this far off the fairway.
I have an alternate thought for you. What if starting right where that line is, there was a pond? Would you be saying the same thing?
Yes. I'm a head case.
No, I'm not saying you personally. I'm saying we wouldn't be sitting here going, why is the lake so close to the fairway? We would just be like, oh, it's a pond, take relief. I think what bothers me mostly is the out of bounds rule. I think it's incredibly inconvenient. I think it's stupid. I think you should be able to take lateral relief, especially for amateurs, which is a whole bifurcation issue. But that's what I think annoys me the most about it. It's like, if it was water, it would make more sense. Now it's like this crazy risk reward on number 18, which I'm kind of excited to see, to be honest.
I'm excited to see that. But yellow hazard versus red hazards. Why is that a thing?
Yeah, I don't know. So one of the funniest things about dating someone who didn't play competitive golf growing up is watching golf with them. This is not in the rundown, but it feels like an alley we need to go down for a second, because we will be watching golf and he'll be like, so why did they do that? Or like, why, like if they're on the cart path, can't you just move it over a foot? I'm like, no, you have to take full relief from the cart path. And explaining everything is so funny because he like, it's so hard to explain because there's so many dumb fucking rules.
But there's no rhyme or reason.
Yeah.
Why is it one club length compared to 2? You would think that they would all be exactly the same, all take 1 club length, all take 2 club lengths. And now obviously you have, used to be dropping behind your shoulder. Now it's shoulder length. Now it's by your knee. And they're trying to simplify it, but it's almost complicating it because you keep changing it every couple of years. I don't even know a lot of the current rules because I haven't played competitively in such a long time. And that's when you had to implement everything that you learned in all the rules of golf is, okay, well, and I had to do it all the time. It's like, okay, I hit into a red hazard, I know what to do. I hit into a yellow hazard, I know what to do. I don't even know if I would exactly know what to do if I played a competitive round of golf. I would have to really think about it, like relief off of a sprinkler head, one club, like, right? Take your stance of where it would be, where it doesn't come into your stroke, and you take one club length from there, and then you have to take, do you have to take your head cover off? Can you keep your head cover on?
You don't have to take it off. And I don't think you have to take it off anymore. Maybe you do. Clearly, I don't know the rules either. But I will say, in your defense, every single time these guys have to pick up their ball on tour, there's a rules official there. Very which true. I think is kind of funny because, like, how do you not know the rules? But clearly they don't know the rules either. And or they're doing it just to save face, right? So there's not ever any, like, question, or, like, there can't be a question that they did something wrong. If anything, it's like the rules official got it wrong, which isn't going to happen. So I don't think, I mean, granted, we probably should know, but no reason to beat yourself up for it. These guys, I mean, don't know any of that either. They don't have to, right? It's not their job. Like, worry about something else.
I feel like this has been a very tame couple of days leading into the Open. I would say with the Masters and the US Open and the PGA, there's kind of some drama going on, and really haven't seen too many sound bites from press conferences. Why do you think that is? Do you think everyone's just trying to stay quiet because no one knows what the hell is going on? And it's better to say nothing right now?
I don't know. I think everyone's exhausted. I think these press conferences are happening at 4 a.m. They're probably on Twitter at 5 a.m. And then by the time we log onto Twitter, they're gone. That's honestly my guess. I don't know.
I would say the spiciest thing I've heard so far was Jon Rahm saying it was my choice to stay, but I do believe that they should be compensated, which at this point is not a hot take. We've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks, but there's been nothing spicy, and I don't mind. I actually don't mind that one bit. Seems like everyone is really focused on the golf. One of my favorite lines was from Cameron Smith and his press conference, where he said, "I told my guys, don't worry, I'll have the trophy back in a couple days."
I didn't see that. I like that.
I love that confidence. And he just won a LIV event. His game feels good. He's the defending champion. No one really has been talking about Cam Smith. And to have that line and that confidence going into a tournament, love it. Absolutely love it.
So I saw somebody tweet this earlier. I believe it was Rick, one of the golf betting guys, but who do you think is going to win using your brain? And who do you want to win not using any statistics or any, like, head and heart? Who you got?
I would say heart, I would go Tommy Fleetwood. He grew up 30 miles from Royal Liverpool. He's been playing some good golf. He has some issues closing the deal, and he's been trending. And he said in his press conference, "I've dreamt about this. I want this, and I feel I can do it." I like that. And I think for being kind of in your area, there's something so incredibly special to do so. Rory is also another one that is always in my heart, where I say, okay, he needs to get another major. He should win another major. He is one of the best players. He has so much talent. Why doesn't he have more majors? He has won here before. Everything is setting up perfect for him. He just won at the Scottish Open. He's playing so great. Not as many distractions right now. I feel like he got everything kind of out of the way. All of the terrible press conferences that he had to endure, and all of the LIV versus PGA and all of this drama. Seems like he's in a decent place, considering he should be one that wins. My head is telling me he's fucked you over so many times. Don't pick him because he has an issue closing on Saturday. It's not Sunday, because he'll shoot himself out of it on Friday or Saturday. And then he comes in gangbusters on Sunday and backdoors a top five, a top 10 every single time. This is the Rory playbook. Don't pick him again for a major. So I didn't pick him. And same with Tommy Fleetwood. He can't win a PGA Tour event. He probably will not close for a major. So don't pick him. So who am I going to pick? I don't know, Sam. I don't know.
Cam Smith, you said you feel good about Cam.
Yeah, no, I feel good about Cam Smith. I really like Tyrrell Hatton. I feel if Tyrrell can keep his emotions under control, then he is a dangerous pick. He has been playing really well. It's just, can he stay calm? And can he, and it's difficult. Let me rephrase that, because I feel like Tiro plays great when he is firing himself up. But I do think at times it can spiral just a little bit too far. And
it's a fine line.
It's a really fine line with someone like a John Rahm and a Tyrrell Hatton who embraces this fieriness, this competitiveness. I feel like it almost pumps them up. But again, there is that fine line. So if he can keep it in control, I don't mind Tyrrell.
How do you feel about Rahm? I don't feel like many people, and maybe I'm following the wrong people, are talking about Rahm this week.
He hasn't really played. He's played good. He hasn't played great since the major win at the Masters. So I am not feeling too great about John Rahm. I would like to stay with the picks that I have, which is a Tyrrell Hatton. I still like Tommy Fleetwood for a good top 10 pick. I'm not going to pick Rory, but I have a sneaky suspicion that he might get it done, and Cameron Smith.
All right. I like that.
Who are you liking?
I mean, I like the Cam Smith storyline for sure. I'm not like the biggest fan of Cam Smith, like in general. I think he's like a little bit boring to me, which is, and you know, I like the Brooks Koepkas and like the people who are going to talk shit. So maybe that just says something about me. But I think that the defending champion storyline, the quote that he said, you know, I think all of that would make it really cool for him to win. I don't know. I would like to see Xander do literally anything.
Have you seen that meme where someone's poking the stick?
Do something.
Do something. That's what it's like. Same with Colin Morikawa. I feel like they're kind of in Patrick Cantlay. They're all in the same boat where I'm expecting them to do great things, and they'll kind of get there. They'll show a little bit of life, and then there's that disappointment that they're not quite fully getting it done.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, Matt Fitzpatrick is a big talking point, like he always is around these majors. His brother is also in the tournament, which I feel like is an underrated and a little cute storyline. Alex is his brother. So Matt and Alex Fitzpatrick are both playing. Alex earned one of the five spots at the last Open qualifier 2 weeks ago at West Lancashire. Probably pronouncing that wrong. Feel free to roast me. It will be Alex's first major championship start. And this is 10 years after Matt played in his first Open championship.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun to watch, which, I mean, it'll be at like, he's teeing off at, I don't know when he's teeing off. The first tee time's at 1:30 in the morning. So I will be fast asleep.
We should pregame it and just stay up and just do all-nighters watching the
Open. Should we go live?
It's like two people following us, watching us.
Ugh. So yeah, it'll be a fun week.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This summer, unleash the power of winning with PointsBet. Whether you are into home runs or hole-in-ones, PointsBet is your home for live betting. With PointsBet's lightning bets, you can bet inning by inning or shot by shot. And every day with PointsBet Power Hour, eligible customers get daily boosts, best odds, or no juice lines that you can't find anywhere else.
New users can download the app today using code PAGE and receive 5 second chance bets up to $100 each. That's 5 straight days where PointsBet will match your losing wager and bonus bets. PointsBet, your move. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services. One more storyline we didn't talk about is Patrick Cantlay, who is a notoriously slow player, is playing with Brooks Koepka in the first two rounds. Do you think that that is going to hurt Brooks? Because I remember playing junior golf and college golf, and there were a handful of very slow players that everyone knew about, and you would dread when you would see your name paired up with them, because you just know that you're in it for 2 days, two very long days, and you have to mentally prepare yourself to play with someone who is slow.
I think it's interesting that they're paired together. Like, what's up with that? Like, who did that?
Hey, RNA, do you hate Brooks? Like, what's this about?
Yeah, I don't know. I find that very interesting. And Hideki is the third person in their group, which not the fastest player in the world either. I would like to think that Brooks and his caddy have discussed this and will stay, you know, very distracted, talk about a lot of other shit on the golf course. But I think it's funny with how open he's been about specifically Patrick Cantlay being slow that they're together. I don't know. I would like to think that
that's how it all started. That's yeah. How this whole thing with Patrick Cantlay started was at the Masters, because they were playing in front of Jon Rahm and Brooks Koepka, and Brooks was unbelievably frustrated throughout that entire day, and that's what started all of this.
Yeah, so someone wanted to see someone wanted some drama, because that's like how many people are in this field and they put them together.
A little spicy.
There's some spice for you.
Some other spice is that Tiger's ex-girlfriend drops the $30 million lawsuit.
That, okay. We're recording this on Wednesday morning. That happened, must have been overnight, because this article was posted at 6 a.m. She filed the lawsuit originally in Martin County, Florida last year against the trust that owns Tiger's South Florida mansion. And she said, this is my favorite part, she says she was owed $30 million, which is equivalent to the amount of rent she said she would have to pay for a similar piece of beachfront property for the next 6 years. I mean, I guess it's a good deal if you can get it, but very interesting.
Very, very, very interesting.
Also, very interesting. I didn't realize they were together for as long as they were. She moved in with him in
7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really long time. Well, hopefully she got that beachfront view. I don't know how she did it, but
good for
interesting. Okay, Sam, I think we need to have some fun with some TNA this week.
So I'm addicted to TikTok. Let's call it what it is. And I follow a lot of these fun podcasts, and they're not sports podcasts. They're just people talking about random shit. And I save a lot of them because I'm like, ooh, that's a good question. Or like, ooh, we should talk about that. So these are very random. That they are all questions that I have found on TikTok and other people's podcasts. So let's begin. You know what my answer to this one's going to be. If you had to permanently remove lemons or limes from the world, which would you pick? Think about it for a second.
You're going to pick lemons because you need lime with your margaritas. I would pick limes. I love lemon desserts, anything with lemon. So I would get rid of limes and I would keep a lemon.
All right. That's easy. I feel like we're starting off easy. If there was a book of every positive and negative thing anyone's ever said about you, would you read it? And yes, if you read the positives, you have to read the negatives. So like you can't just read half the book.
I do that every fucking day. I go through all my comments. It's my life. I'm like skimming through that book being like, ooh, what's today? Yeah, I would read it. I do read it every single day. I think people are surprised that I read all of my comments. I read the good comments. I read the bad comments. I look through everything. If I'm tagged in something, I'll look through the comments. If I'm posted somewhere, I will look through the comments. I look through every single comment.
Always.
And I want this on record that I have told her not to do that.
Everyone tells me not to. Apparently, it's just not good for my mental health.
Yeah, I wonder why. That's crazy. I don't think I would read it because that's none of my business. You know?
Gotta take the good with the bad, you know?
Yeah, but like if someone has said something good about me, I probably know it, or they said it to me, right? Unless like you're talking to someone and you're like, yeah, Sam's great. Okay, well, that's not really like earth shattering. I don't need to, you know, what people think about me is none of my business.
I think it would be harder to read the book if it's from people that you know really well.
That's
so
what I think.
When I read comments, when I read comments online, it's from most people I don't know. Sometimes it's an acquaintance. Sometimes it is someone I do know. But majority of the time, it's people I have never met, I will never meet. And so it is easier to digest a comment when you don't know someone. But if it's you or a family member or someone that I really care about and they say something terrible about me, then that would be... that would be a dilemma, Sam. It's like, what do you do with that information? You know, you got to be pretty strategic, our favorite word.
Strategic.
Be pretty strategic about what you do with that information. But information is power, and I'll leave it with that.
I was going to say, I have no idea what to say to that. Okay, next question. On a completely different note, I tried to randomize these. So you can have 5 liquids come out of one on each finger on one hand, and they're with you at all times. Okay. So like you have on demand liquids, 5 liquids. What are your liquids? Think about this, because I asked a lot of people this question and some of their answers made me rethink mine.
Okay. Any type of liquid.
It could be like a specific margarita you had at one place. Like it would be already like pre-mixed.
Okay.
Like on tap basically.
So the thumb would be water because you need water to survive. So I would do that. Boring, but it works.
And also think about what you already will have access to, right? So like you probably will have access to water most places that you are. Not trying to.
I'm still sticking with water because sometimes you are in a place where you don't have water on hand and it's ice cold water.
I have seen you drink 3 sips of water.
I don't like drinking water when I work. It's a weird thing. I don't like eating or drinking when I work. It really bothers me. Here's my issue with water or drinks in general. I hate holding something. I despise holding something. If I'm at a party, you know how people say it's their comfort blanket to hold something? I hate it. I hate holding a drink, and especially if there's that condensation on the outside of the cup, and then you have to get a little napkin so it doesn't drip all over your hand.
And it's wet.
And then the napkin is wet, and then like I was holding my right hand, and if you meet someone, you have to switch it over, and then I have a bag in my other hand, and it is just such a mess. Or if you want to dance or do something and you're just holding a water or a drink in your hand, I hate it. So if I had water on my thumb, I would drink so much more water.
Oh, so you're going to use this like squirt, like straight into the mouth like this.
Yeah. Like a little hamster. Just suck on that thing all day.
Oh my God. I'm dead. Okay. Keep going. What are your other
water? The peppermint milkshake from Chick-fil-A.
That's a fantastic one.
On this finger, I would do a virgin pina colada on my middle finger.
Okay.
Because you can always add alcohol, but you don't always have the perfect mix of a good pina colada. So that would be the middle finger. And then I could just like squirt it in and then just add whatever type of alcohol that I want. I would say the ring finger would be a good root beer. I love root beer. But it's like a very specific type of root beer that I like. And it's like the homemade root beer. So that would be the ring finger. And then my pinky finger would be, I don't know, probably some type of hydration drink. Because if I'm doing these other 3, that I need a little bit.
It could be like a condiment too. Oh. It could be any kind of liquid.
I know you're picking ranch. Yeah. I bet I can do yours. Let me guess yours. And then my pinky would be marshmallow sauce. marshmallow sauce is so underrated when it comes to a topping for dessert, especially ice cream. No one ever does marshmallow sauce, and it's elite.
I think marshmallows in general are a little underrated. We always keep a bag of the mini ones in our cabinet. And like every night before we go upstairs, we eat like a handful of them.
Marshmallows are where it's at. Like a good marshmallow sauce, like not like a fluff, like a little bit thinner.
Liquidy, yeah.
Liquidy, so good. Those would be my five.
All right. Do you want to guess mine?
Okay. So yours is going to be, I know two of them for sure. One will be ranch.
Yeah.
The other one will be a margarita.
Yes. I have a specific one, but yes.
I don't know the specific ones because you just get a margarita wherever we go. The third one would be boba, like a boba drink.
That would be kind of weird, like the little balls like popping out of your finger.
That would be the other one. I don't know the other two. Those are my three guesses.
Okay. So I would do definitely not water because I don't drink enough water to need it on tap. The spicy mezcal margarita from The Ridge at Geneva National. That shit changed my life. And it was at the pool bar, okay, which like, and you're in the middle of Wisconsin. Who would have thought the pool bar in the middle of Wisconsin with three people who definitely did not look 21 working behind the bar would make this good of a margarita? It was on the menu. I was like, okay, maybe. Best margarita I've ever had in my life. Twisted Tea.
Oh, yeah. That was dumb on my part. I knew that.
Like, need I say more? Ranch for sure, but the specific ranch that they have up the street at this restaurant called The Porch, it's homemade. And then I would do a chocolate milkshake from Steak and Shake, no whipped cream or cherry. You're gonna rethink things when I tell you my fifth one.
I don't think so.
Unleaded gas. Yeah. So I asked my boyfriend this. And his last
one. Of course he said that.
No, he said printer ink. He goes, printer ink, because I could resell it. I'm like, I hate you. That is not the point of the game. But now, free thought mine.
I'm rethinking and I'm sticking with marshmallow sauce.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. The world needs to know about our fight over chicken fingers the other day. The world needs to know.
So I had this take, and let me explain the take before Sam totally butchers it and tries
to
cancel
me. No, I don't think you get to explain it before you just get to retell the story.
I got to explain it because you said this would never, ever leave the friendship circle, and now we're going to tell thousands of people about my bad take. So I get to phrase this.
Oh, so it is a bad take.
It's not a bad take. It's a bad take when you phrase it. It's not a bad take when I say it. So we were talking about...
I am aghast.
We weren't talking about anything. I just out of the blue said, you know what is overrated? Chicken tenders. Because most chicken tenders... the breading to chicken ratio is off and it frustrates me. That was my take.
That is not what happened. Can everyone hear me? That is not what happened. We are sitting in the middle of the lounge in Cleveland, Ohio. The Cleveland Airport Lounge. She looks at me and goes, you know what's overrated? Chicken fingers. Period. That was the end of the sentence. And that is when I flipped a shit because I'm like, you can't just say that. And then she follows it up by saying that the ratio is off and there's too much chicken. That's the other bad part of this take.
Dry chicken. Like a dry chicken tender is worse than eating sand.
Not when you have ranch.
Coming out of your piggy finger. Okay, what's the next question?
Would you rather lose all of your money or all of the photos you've ever taken?
I would lose all of the photos I have ever taken. What kind of question is that? What does that say about me as a person that I don't... We have memories. Why do we need a picture? I would much rather have my money.
That is the funniest thing you've ever said, given what you do for work.
I take so many pictures every single day to make money. Why would I keep the... why would I keep the picture to get rid of the money? That makes no sense. Whoever says keep the pictures has an inheritance because that makes no sense.
I low-key say keep the pictures because you. I think – because, okay, so you want to defend your awful chicken tenders take. I think it's just lose all of your money like up until this point. I can make more money. I can't retake pictures from when I was like a child. You know what I'm saying?
But how many times do you actually – open up a book of baby Sam and is like
more than you would think. I'm like, damn, she was cute. What happened? Would you rather be ugly and smell amazing or attractive and stink?
I would rather be attractive and stink.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't. But, you know, I feel like we're both pretty self-conscious about how we smell.
I don't feel like we ever smell bad. And you can always fix smelling bad with some deodorant, some perfume, something. Or do you just constantly just smell bad?
I think you just smell bad forever. Like, you can't. Like, it's not fixable. So then everyone you meet, even though you're hot as shit, is like, wow, she
How
reeks.
Hot?
How hot? I don't know.
There has to be a scale, because there's definitely a scale here.
Like 1 to 10, like 10. Pushing 11.
So I look like Adriana Lima?
Yes.
I would smell all day long.
You just wouldn't let anybody get within 6 feet of you.
They don't. Yeah, they can look, but they can't touch. Or they can look, but they can't smell.
Fair enough. You just bring nose plugs with you everywhere you go. Here you go. Have fun meeting Paige. Do you crumple or fold your toilet paper? I'm a folder. I'll be honest.
Who crumples? I'm really confused about the logistics here. So you crumple it into a ball and then like stick it there and like, or do you, that makes,
no, you
that,
still,
it does
no,
not
you
work.
Still, you still wipe, but it's just not as ergonomically friendly.
The same people who crumple are the same people who pick pictures.
Gasp. Would you rather lose both arms, both legs, or one of each?
Are they like opposite?
You know, you're giving me a lot of things to think about because these are just the questions. They didn't specify all this other bullshit that you're asking me. They could be whatever you want. Do you want it to be opposite?
Yeah, I'd lose my oh no, that's an issue though. Because I would definitely need my right arm. So I'd lose my left arm. And I would want, I mean, I don't really.
I would lose my whole side, I think.
I just feel like it would be unbalanced.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I would lose one of each.
Yeah, me too. A lot of people were saying both legs, though.
I feel like people are just a lot smarter than us and have probably thought this through with great detail.
But that's the fun of it, because we didn't get to think it through. Okay, last one. You are given $10,000 and a plane ticket anywhere, and you have to leave tonight. Where are you going?
I'm going to Melbourne.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Or Sydney. Yeah, somewhere. Probably Sydney, and I think about it.
Not, you wouldn't go somewhere you've never been?
No, because like, what if you hate it and you just like wasted that opportunity? You can always go somewhere else, but I'd rather go somewhere that I know that I like. And we didn't really get to experience it when we were there because we were working so much. And a lot of the places that we have been, I really haven't been able to do a lot of stuff. And so it would be nice to go back to a bunch of places for fun and not for work and really get to experience it.
Yeah, we definitely need to go back to some of these places and like just play golf and then not do anything else, like not have anything else planned, like just be able to go shop around or like go do whatever. We tried to shop that day.
It's hard to try to do something after you're done working because you're already, you know, pretty exhausted, especially with the time change. So like they had time for us to, you know, do stuff. But at that point, you're just like, okay, you have an hour. What are you going to do in an hour when you don't know where to go? So yeah, I'd go to Sydney. Where would you go?
I would probably go to either the Maldives or like Tulum or like somewhere tropical that I haven't been. Yeah, I don't know. We're working on a fun Tulum trip for my birthday. So stay tuned, but that should be fun. I've never really been to Mexico. I've been to Mexico City for a golf tournament, but never really been.
I've never been either.
All right. Well, that was fun.
That was fun.
I'll keep an eye out for random.
I think we need to keep that going, but which one are we going to post on the pod account? Which one's going to start the biggest conversation? I think we have to do the pictures versus money because that is just such an outrageous answer from you that I can't even believe that you said that.
Yeah, I think I think that's a good one to post because a lot of them are like you kind of have to explain or like, yeah, I think that's a good one.
All of my pictures are of me. I was looking through my phone the other day.
All of my pictures are also of you.
Me too.
That's true, honestly. That's true.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this pod episode. I know that we did. If you want to support, which would mean so much to us, make sure to leave a 5-star review. Subscribe to our podcast. You can find it anywhere. And go and follow the Playing Around podcast account on Instagram. We're always posting some really fun stuff there. Thank you so much for always listening, and we will catch you here next time.
Bye. Love ya.
Bye. Love ya.
Follow Playing Around with Paige Renee on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Win money betting on golf this year. Betting on golf is fun, but picking winners isn't easy. BetSports Golf has the data, tools, and experts to turn your Sundays into paydays. Members get in-depth articles, research tools, and our team's picks each and every week. If you had bet $100 on every wager the BetSports Golf team had recommended last year, you'd be up nearly $10,000. For a limited time, you can head to BetSportsGolf.com to get a special price on a year-long subscription.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.